Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Hey, a beautiful day today. It appears that fall is not going to be long in the making. Anybody believe that? Watch the praying mantises. There's some really mature ones now. That's always been a gauge to winter time to me. That's not even one of those farmer's almanac kind of deals. Eddie, you going to introduce your new part of the praise team on Sunday morning? Oh, good. Y'all better got some excitement coming Sunday morning. We got a new member of the praise team. It's going to be a surprise. So make sure you, with great anticipation, come ready for some more worship on Sunday. Well, I've really got the suspense now. They're going to be all over Eddie. Don't tell nobody who it is. As we go forward in life, every single day, we have choices to make. And this direction that God's led me in lately with the idolatry, we looked at on Sunday morning. We're in that series with seeing what happened when Moses went up on Mount Sinai. And the title of the message tonight is Led by Fear to Folly. And fear is a powerful emotion, isn't it? It's a powerful. Anybody in here, how powerful do you believe fear is? Pretty powerful, isn't it? Fear will push us to do things that we would never dream of doing. You know what else it'll do? Stop us from doing what God wants us to do, just about as strong as anything will do. Tonight, if you have your Bibles with you, I pray you do. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 12, five verses, verses 25 through 30, again, of a message titled, Led by Fear to Folly. And we're going to see tonight a man who'd been promised blessing. He had been basically promised a secure and an established blessing by God. And yet, his fear pushed him to make decisions that ended up bringing great pain to his life. But we often see, as a matter of fact, I was talking to somebody today, I don't remember who it was, but I was talking to him about how it's so easy to even look at the, you know, you get tons of people that'll say, oh, well, Old Testament, that's all in the, we don't observe any of the Old Testament anymore because, you know, we're under the New Covenant under, and I said, really? What about the Ten Commandments? Oh. I said, see, that's the problem. There's a lot of spiritual immaturity because we don't realize the ceremonial law versus moral law. And moral law, which is the things, don't covet, don't commit adultery, right? Don't murder, don't steal. Well, wait, those are under the law, right? See, moral law versus ceremonial law. No, we don't have to go out and kill 100 bulls tomorrow and do the smoke and incense, call it the smells and bells. We don't have to do that, but yet we are to be holy because God is holy. And again, we can contextualize. You hear people say, oh, well, in Acts or 1st, 2nd Timothy or Corinthians, when they said that, they were having trouble back then with this. So that's why this is not something that was speaking to us. Oh, is that right? That's happening in churches all over the place and in people's lives right now, because what happens when you and I start to say, oh, that doesn't apply to us. That was an issue they had back then. Let's just keep doing that. You know why? Because personally, I can sit there and find an excuse for any and everything that I want to do that's outside of God's will. Could you? I know I can. Have we not all done that 1,000 times? 100 would be way too little. We'd be underestimating greatly. We could do that, though, and many times we have. But this picture of watching someone who has basically God's blessing in the bucket, meaning what God's plan and picture for his life was, and in fear allowing the enemy to take that blessing away, is what we're going to see tonight. And what I pray tonight, again, when you hear the term blessing, somebody said the other day, well, God, we can go into this long thing about it, but when you and I are doing what God wants us to do, we are blessed. What does that mean? Does that mean it's going to be health, wealth, prosperity? No. Doing God's will is the blessing of our life, which is our created purpose is to glorify God and to do his good pleasure. Does that mean it's going to be fun for us? Absolutely not. Do you realize if you're in the middle of God's plan for your life, whether you or I like it or not, you are in the midst of your blessing, because it is a blessing and a privilege to serve the God of creation. Whether we realize it or not, I believe fully one day we will, when we stand in his presence and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What my desire tonight is that you and I, as that old hymn says, that the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. A dear person, it's a dear friend I've actually been sharing in a deeper way, Christ, with about two years now. I've watched this person grow amazing. I mean, it's been so neat that from the very first time that I challenged this person to start reading the Bible, they did it. They were involved in a very bad accident very soon, within 2 weeks of committing to reading the Bible. They realized that they were at a crossroads, and I remember telling them, "You're at a crossroads. You can either continue to seek the Lord," or I said, "What's going to happen is right now, you're one of the four soils." It's been so neat because here we are, actually maybe 3 years later now. This person sought the Lord, went through a terribly difficult time in their life, and now we're at the place where God is growing them in ways you could not imagine. And I said, you know that verse that I've shared with you many times before, I shared with them today. I said, "When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found." And I said, "Do you see what God is doing? Your desires for him." And I said, "God is giving you the desire of your heart." And this person truly was in awe of what God's done. And I said, "Just look at what God's done in these last few years." And you know, they're at this amazing place where God is just growing them. But you and I are at this crossroad, and I mean this, every single day. Today, I was challenging them in Joshua chapter, 24? "To choose you this day whom you will serve, if me and my house will serve the Lord." I said, "You pray for your family. You pray that God would hedge your entire property, that God would protect your husband, your wife, your friend, whoever it is in your life that you have, your children." I said, "You always pray and challenge people to pray that God would protect their hearts, God would protect their physical bodies, their minds, God would protect the future spouses of any children or grandchildren they might have." And they were like, "You know, wow, that's deep, that's powerful." But see, that's what we've got to do. We've got to take every what captive to the will of Christ? Thought. I heard it over there somewhere. Every thought captive to the will of Christ. That's what this is going to do tonight. And again, we're in idolatry. We're dealing with this. We're confronting it. And I pray that this moves in every one of our lives and helps create a rampart in our lives that would prevent us from what we saw Sunday morning with the golden calf and what the Israelites did, and sadly the leadership of Aaron and the folly that was brought about as a result of that. I hope you found 1 Kings chapter 12. We'll look at verses 25 through 30, and if you're able physically tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. From there he went out and he built Penuel. Jeroboam said to himself, "The way things are going now, the kingdom might return to the house of David. If these people regularly go to offer sacrifices in the Lord's temple in Jerusalem, the heart of these people will return to their lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will murder me and go back to the king of Judah." So the king sought advice. Then he made two golden calves, and he said to the people, "Going to Jerusalem is too difficult for you, Israel. Here is your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." He set up one in Bethel and put the other in Dan. This led to sin. The people walked in procession before one of the calves all the way to Dan. Father God, tonight, Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts, speak through your word, God, as only you can. Allow your Holy Spirit to fall on hearts and lives. God, transform us, convict us, challenge us, encourage us, all in accordance and in line with your word, your plan, and your purpose. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you remember, this is post-King whose death? Right, you've got this time when King David's mess ultimately ends up with the kingdom divided, okay? You have Jeroboam, he's he's the king of the northern kingdoms. You have the southern kingdom and Rehoboam. Remember old Rehoboam, the mess that was dealing with. This short period in history, that what happens is this fear creeps up. And what had happened is that God had promised Jeroboam 10 tribes that he was going to be able to be king over. He was basically going to be the king of this northern kingdom. And due to the fact of what we see right here, ultimately, it ended up in a big mess. But see, this is the first thing that I want to share from verse 26 and 27. Jeroboam said to himself, the way things are going now, the kingdom might return to the house of David if these people regularly go to offer sacrifices in the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. The heart of these people will return to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. First thing that I want to share comes from those two verses tonight, and it's this. Fear can push us to doubt God's promises. This is a key. If we allow it. Doesn't just have to deal with idolatry either. This has to do with everything. This has to do with you seeking God's face concerning a business decision, concerning a job situation, a situation concerning the person God wants your child to marry. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Retirement. Whether in fear I'm going to do X or in fear I'm going to do this, when you have prayed about it, God has clearly opened the door. How many times in our lives have you or I clearly prayed and God clearly answered? And as we were getting ready to walk through the door, fear overwhelmed us and we did a backtrack outside of God's will. Anybody? You know what happens a lot of times, and I think that's really where the picture of the potter's house is, where he sees a vessel that's marred and he's reforming it. I think many times God shuts those doors. I really believe so. I think God shuts those doors of that blessing, what plan that God has for us that would allow us to be used for his glory. What about the blessing of the stoning of Stephen? You ready? If Stephen hadn't been faithful, he would never have realized the blessing of getting stoned to death for Christ. You go, what are you talking about? Anybody know about a thing called a martyr's crown? Huh? Do you know that that is actually a privilege? Do we realize this? No, not in American Christianity. What are you talking about, man? God blessed me with millions of dollars and to be able to quote unquote use in ministry. Now that is living the blessed life. No, the blessed life is living a life like Stephen, living a life like a follower of Christ that was obedient unto death and may not have ever had two rusty nickels to rub together, but your very essence of your life was a manifestation of God's glory and to be a trophy of God's grace. That is what living an abundant, blessed life as a follower of Christ represents. This right here, you see the picture right here because we know that Jeroboam was ultimately, at one point or another, a God follower under some sort of God's blessing. But we watch this fear take over and go, oh no, they're worshiping in Jerusalem. So they're going past, by the way, the Battle of Armageddon, Jezreel Valley. There's this, remember I told you when you stand up on Mount Carmel, there's this dividing line between the northern and the southern kingdom. They were having to go from the northern kingdom to the southern kingdom to go worship. He was scared to death because they're going back to the place that Rehoboam is in charge of here, and he was convinced that there would not be anybody who was going to ultimately stay faithful to him as the king. So he said, wait a minute, I'll fix this. I'll fashion two golden calves. Wow, we don't have any history on that by this time in life, right? Yeah, right. And why in the world, of all the places that they would understand, as you look at Dan, Dan's in the very northern part of Israel. As a matter of fact, it's right there near the Syrian border. That was that place that has all of these idols. I've got a picture of it, but there was all of it still there, carved in the side. There's all these shrines and different things. But that was where Paul actually went up there and talked to them about, hey, what are y'all doing? You're worshiping all these idols. But this is the center of idol worship, basically, back at this point in history. So he's establishing idol worship when he's under this promise of God to have these 10 tribes. But due to fear and buying the enemy's lies and not realizing that God doesn't lie and it doesn't matter if they went to Jerusalem every day. God's promise is God's promise. And if all he had to do is be faithful Every single promise of God throughout history was not dependent on man's keep the covenants. Look at the covenantal promises. The Noahic covenant today, when you and I see the rainbow, it's the promise of God to this very day. How many thousands of years ago did God make that promise? And he has never destroyed the entire earth by flood again. His promise. Every time I saw four or five of them posted last week. Pictures of them, have them in the newspaper and everything else of rainbows and the beauty of them. You are looking at God saying, I'm never going to destroy the earth by a flood again. I'm promising you that. Do you realize? The Noahic covenant, that's what that is. The new covenant in Jesus Christ. Never is the work of Christ and his forgiveness and that redemption, that work, ever going to cease to be that free gift until the old order of things passes away. In other words, till Jesus Christ's return. The blood of Jesus Christ, that covenantal promise, will forever hold true. That is the blessing that we know tonight. Our God doesn't change. We don't need to be led by fear to folly outside of God's blessing. The only thing that's found outside of that is pain. Pain. Listen to verse 28 and 29. So the king sought advice. Then he made two golden calves, said to the people, going to Jerusalem is too difficult for you, Israel. Here is your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. He set up one in Bethel, put the other in Dan. By the way, you have to pop, tonight my blood pressure can be really high. I don't have my blood pressure medicine, so I might be a little kind of off tonight, so just bear with me. I had to stop taking it, so I might get really red, might get a little fuzzy-headed or anything else, but just understand that's what it is, and I apologize for it. The second thing I want to share with you tonight comes out of those two verses. Once we turn down sin's highway, we become more unhinged. You know what that means? There's no such thing as the respectable sins. There's no such thing as going, you know what? Man, I really love to party and I love to go. I'm going to go find a bar in another county. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to have one beer and just listen. I'm going to dance a little bit and I'm going to come drive back home, or I'm going to go have me one big shot of really illegal stuff that you put in your nose or some other place. And I'll just have that one thing. It's not a big issue. And my wife won't know. My husband won't know. My kids won't know. It's not a big thing. It's just my little area of my life that I'm just need for me. Listen, I want you to know, I hadn't been alive a long time compared to many of you, but I want you to know something. I've been alive long enough to know one thing. There is no way to maintain anything that ain't good and say, I'm only going to do a little bit of X. I'm only going to, as a person said the other day, they wanted somebody to try doing something they shouldn't do, and I'm not even talking about alcohol. I'm talking about some really raunchy stuff, so that they would know that they didn't want to be a part of it. I said, are you out of your mind? This is a person almost 50 years old telling an 18-year-old person this. I said, are you out of your mind? I said it right in front of the person too. So you want, this is the same thing as saying, go out and cheat on your spouse so you'll know that you don't want to leave them. I said, that's what you're saying. It's foolishness. Let's go out there and use a drug that has the potential to stop your heart just so you'll know that you don't want none of it. Just like California's finding out something. They thought that legalization of marijuana, just watched a huge thing on it last night, was going to take all of the profit out of the illegal market. Do you know what it's done? Does anybody know? It's made more illegal markets prop up, and now it's lost all the profit margin in the legal one. I watched a huge thing about it last night. The governor's saying it backfired. We don't know what we're going to do now. Now they've got the illegals hidden among the legal growers, and they don't know what they're going to do now. They've got such a mess. The legal processor has 11 tons, I know it's that or more, of product in there that they don't know what to do with. That'd make Cheech and Chong go crazy, wouldn't it? But let me tell you what I'm saying in this. We always think that there's this utopian solution to everything. But I want to tell you something, it's not. It's the same way with us. We think that we'll be the one that gets away with it. They just didn't do it right, just like they built socialism like that. Oh, Venezuela just hadn't done it right. Let me do it. Don't listen to politicians wanting socialism, because I'll tell you one thing. They'll take everything you have, and then they'll be gone somewhere once they've taken everything that you have and left you high and dry. They've got the money to still get out of the country. Don't listen to the socialism is a lie. There's no such thing as it's, oh, it just hasn't been done right. We have heard that, friends, for decades, haven't you? Remember? Chavistas with Hugo in Venezuela. Guess who else heard that? Castro's regime. Hey, it's going to be great. Just give it time. Ask anybody who's lived under those regimes right there, and they will tell you, do not be a fool. Talk to my friend Abraham. I just talked to him less than a week ago. He will tell you about those systems. Those systems are inherently broken. And as he says, this is greatest nation still in the world. And it really, truly is, brothers and sisters. But what we've got to remember is we cannot allow fear to lead us into folly. We can't let it in our personal lives, and we can't let it in our spiritual lives. We can't let it in our families. Men, when you allow fear to reign in your heart and your family, you know what it does? It takes your family captive. It takes your family. Now, do you need to be wise? You can leave your door unlocked when you live in South Nashville at night, and you're a fool if you do that. You'll lock your door. You need a handgun carry permit? I think it's very wise to do that. Do it as the law says to do it. Do the right thing. Don't be foolish. Don't say, oh, front nice big old plaque on the front of your house, gun-free zone. Oh, great. We know who to rob now, right? But people do that because they want, I'm just going to live and let live. We're all going to sing Kumbaya and everything's going to be wonderful. No, you don't live in fear to the fact that you're going to run and act like a fool. But at the same time, when you and I reject wisdom and when you and I get to be a slave of fool or the other way, where we become completely unhinged in whatever it is, even in our mindset of, I'm not going to follow anything or anything. I want to be the own king of my castle. I don't like any doctrine. Well, wait a second. The Bible calls us to what? Submit to the governing authorities. A lot of things the governing authorities have done in my lifetime that I don't like. But I'm called to submit to that until it contradicts with God's word. Just like I was kind about closing down there for the 2 months or whatever it was, brothers and sisters, we've done our little due diligence. We got a little hand smacked, and guess what? Ain't going to happen again. I'm saying that with it online. It's not happening again here. If Brother Jonathan goes to jail for it, so be it. Because I'm going to tell you what now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is not the issue. Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling. We can do this in a wise manner like we're doing tonight. End of the story is, if you end up losing the right to worship, they tell us to shut the doors, your pastor's going to be here. They're going to have to block, lock, bulldoze the building, or do something to keep me out of here. By God's grace, I'll do it till my dying breath. And if they take me to jail, so be it. Y'all hopefully raise some bail money. I'll sell something, do something. We'll try to get some money together, and I'll come right back, and we'll start over. Amen? Or maybe we'll just do a little pause. Andrew, hit the pause button, and when I get back, we'll continue on. If we have to have a line of pastors to finish one because they put us in jail for 48 hours, so be it. We'll do it. But I know one thing. There comes that place where you cannot let fear, you got to be rational, but at the same time, fear will ultimately lead you to folly. Don't think in your own life that you're going to just involve yourself in something, and you're going to keep it under wraps, you're going to keep it under control. No, you can't do that, because what will happen is it will consume you. The fear of losing the kingdom right here, we see right now, was the downfall of this king. God had promised Jeroboam 10 tribes. But in his self, in his fear of losing that, he turned down sin's highway. And the problem is we become more unhinged when we do that. It never, ever, ever ceases to say, I'm just going to go to this little level. Every time I've talked to somebody in a mess, one of the resounding themes, meaning the thing that I hear consistently is, I don't know how I got here. I never meant for this to get here. I never thought I could have been here. I never thought, that's the resounding theme every time. A lot of times I hear, it was that thing that I said I would never do. I had it under control. I don't know what happened. It happens. Doesn't matter what it is. Again, you fill in what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. Listen to verse 30. This led to sin. The people walked in procession before one of the calves all the way to Dan. Friends, that's a long way. They wouldn't have caught me doing that. I can promise you that. That's a long way. Miles upon miles upon miles. Leave that at that. Well, third and final thing I want to share with you tonight is this. When we're living in sin, we can influence many people in ways we never should. Or how about saying it like this, in ways we never thought possible. Many times we forget the influence of those who are watching. Little eyes, kids. Those that look up to you, us, me. They're watching. Somebody one time was struggling with compromise. I said, do you realize these little ones look up to you? I don't want them to. I said, it doesn't matter that you don't want them to. That doesn't change anything. The reality is that they do, whether they should or not. They don't know that you're a despicable wreck right now that should not be looked up to. They're still looking up to you, and they're modeling you. You know that I've dealt with even people in my own family that were negatively influenced by people who will one day stand accountable for the influence that they had on my children. Well, I didn't want to do that. I didn't mean to. Okay, it doesn't matter. God doesn't say, listen, I'm hitting the record button right now. People are going to be watching and looking up to you, so you make sure you pay attention when the light's blinking red, because that's when they're going to see what you're doing. Yeah, and then you can be careful, little eyes, what you see. No. It's all the time. That's why I think it's important in your home to be joyful in front of your children. Well, what if I don't feel like that? You know, I mean, should I fake it? Yes. And I'm dead serious when I say that. You know why? What are your kids ever going to know about joy if they don't see it lived out in you? Your child will never have a smile if they don't see it lived out in your house. Well, what do you mean? The joy of the Lord is my strength. What are your children ever going to see if they don't see the joy of the Lord emanating in you? When they don't see it resonate in your life, when they don't see it manifest. Dead promise you, serious as anything. I woke up the last 3 days with a headache that's, I've had it all day long because my blood pressure is so high, because I can't take my blood pressure medicine right now. I've woken up hurting tremendously. My heart's been out of rhythm now for 6 days, severely. I've got it logged on my watch. I've not woken up real joyful these mornings. I haven't felt well, but guess what? I'm not letting them know it. I've gotten up, and you can ask them. I've smiled, I've cut up, and I've been joyful. Read the devotions and done everything that I'm supposed to do, because how will I ever expect any of them to ever know that living outside of your physical feeling is what followers of Jesus Christ are commanded to do? What about Paul and Silas singing praises after being beaten and thrown in a prison cell, not like Rutherford County or Bedford County with air conditioning and heating in it, watching a TV? They were in a jail cell that would have made you want to vomit. But what they were doing is living outside of their external circumstances, not allowing fear to lead them to folly and saying, man, God, why am I in here? I didn't do nothing. No, they were living in the Spirit, the anointing of the God of creation, who had commanded through creation itself for them to glorify, praise, and honor Christ. And that's what we have to do. It is beating our bodies to make it our slave. Truly, we cannot be a slave to self, a slave to the carnal pleasures. We have got to be a slave to righteousness. And there in that is found being lifted out, being pulled out, being snatched out, and living in the fullness of Christ. And it's an every single day battle, and will be till the day that you breathe your dying breath. I go do something regularly. I see a person in town, and when I'm there, a lot of times I just want to be on cruise control. You know, it's one of those times where I don't have anybody with me, but one of the very few times there's no one with me, and I just want to just sit there and just be in the moment. And you know what I've realized? I can't do that. Because, not because I'm a minister. No, it's because my life must be ministry. I'm not on vacation when I go into town to visit someone. No, I am an extension of Christ. And I have the ability to speak into people's lives if I don't, in my selfish carnal desires, decide to just serve myself and be quiet because I feel like it. Think about what I'm saying if I was to do that by my lack of action. Think about the encouragement that I've been able to hear from ones who said, hey, God used you in whatever front it was. When I've heard back after doing that for extended periods of time, over months and years, in recognizing how much of an impact it's had in lives of people when I could have justified that little bit of time to just be quiet and enjoy myself. See, it goes even with fear or with selfish. It goes both ways. It robs us of the ability to be a minister. And remember, you don't have to be a pastor to be a minister. All you have to do is be willing. What do you want the essence of your dash, your life, to be? I was talking to the Lord today in my subconscious, and I said, Lord, if you gave me 40 more years and I was going to get a cancer and have a really miserable death, 40 more years. They give me 40 more years to minister, to see kids, grandkids, and enjoy seeing the blessing of what God's doing. If you give me 40 more years and I die of a bad, cancerous, miserable death one day or tomorrow in this heart surgery, I just go see Jesus after they put me under. And I'm serious. I said this. I said, Lord, I'm ready to roll. I'm not living fatalistically. I'm going to be honest. I would like to live the next 40 years and see God work in lives and be a part of God working in lives. That'd bring me at what? 86 years old. 86 years old. I don't want 40 more years and then lay in bed and flop around one day. If God was able to give me the choice, which I don't think he's doing giving me this choice, but if he did, I just tell him, Lord, let's go. Right? Everybody wants to die in your sleep, peacefully. What greater way to do it than a verse said fog? Amen? Y'all don't know what a verse said fog is? When you get up from surgery and you don't remember which way's up, that's verse said. You don't know why you can't remember nothing, that's verse said. It's a most incredible drug that I think God ever gave man the ability to create. What a great way to walk out of life, amen? But see, that's not our choice. I heard a pastor say recently, you maybe heard it, the one I sent you, Eddie, when he said, hey, people have asked me, God, give me the ability to die a peaceful death, sleep. He said, I won't do it. He said, I want you to die the way God has divinely ordained it in his plan. That's deep, right? Because what he would be doing, ultimately, if he asked, or those people ask you, and you say, okay, oh, let Sister Susie, let Sister Bill die a nice, peaceful death in their sleep. If that wasn't God's will and they were to die on a mission field or as a martyr, guess what we'd be doing? We'd be praying not in accordance with God's will, we'd be praying against God's will. Think about that. Isn't that deep? We need to pray in accordance with God's will. So what do I always, my prayer on? I said, Lord, your will be done. God, heal them in accordance with your will. Meaning, if your desire is to heal them physically now, heal them in accordance with your will. But God, if your desire is to use this to take them home and heal them, they've both been healed. But guess what? We prayed in accordance with his will in it being done the way God had designed it to be done. Does that make sense? You want to pray in accordance with God's will. Don't just say, God, heal them. No, Lord, heal them in accordance with your will. God, lead me to the job that you might have in accordance with your will, in your time. God, lead my child to that man or woman that you would have them marry one day in accordance with your will. What if it's not God's will? Remember Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife? You know, she didn't want to get married. Y'all know this? Y'all know Ruth Graham Bell? All right, Ruth Bell was her pre-married name, maiden name. Ruth Bell was convinced that God had called her to be a missionary to China. You know this? If not, you're learning this. She was convinced that God, she was being prepared to be a missionary in China. Guess what? God had other plans. You know what? God was preparing her to be married to the man that I believe shared the gospel with probably more people than ever shared with anybody in the history of mankind, maybe up until these ones on the televangelists now. God's will was different. So imagine if Ruth's parents were, hey, oh, you continue to prepare her for a missionary because that's what you're with. No, she believes, hey, God, you use her according to your will. We got to pray in accordance with God's will the same way right here. We cannot be led to folly by us in our fear of what's going to happen, stripping us of the place where the 10 tribes is no longer our ministry or our mission. When we're living in sin, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't forget the influence that we have on people in ways that we could never imagine or we never should. As we go through this idolatry picture, I really believe that God laid this on my heart so heavily because not only are we idol factories, amen? We all are. Every single one of us are idol factories. I think we're at a time in history where it's harder than ever not to be an idol factory or to be a successful idol factory. I read today that many of the big retailers, I don't know if y'all heard this, in New York, the big ones, the anchor ones, ooh, one of them's rent every month is $974,000 a month. They haven't paid it since this started in March. They're not going to be, that was Victoria's Secret, they're not going to be reopening. So they haven't paid since March. JCPenney's is going to declare bankruptcy on it, and what is another one? Neiman Marcus, I believe it was. But they went through all these, Subway's shut down, by 13 locations there that they're not going to reopen. I was sitting there, they said, one of these streets is one of the ones that you see when you have pictures of them, just people, they said it's a ghost town still. People are going out. Now, think about this. What if you're a landlord? What if this is your retirement? What if this is your nest egg that you've sat around for the last 20 years, you finally got it paid off, now you're able to take that money and you're able to what? Finally put some back because in 5 years you're ready to hang it up. What if you're one of the people that's your reality? Imagine if you don't know Christ. Everything that you have hoped for, you've dreamed for, your promise, in a sense, is going up like smoke from a fire. See, that's what I'm telling you when I say to you, you do not want to put your lock, stock, barrel, your hope, your everything in financial or a person, as I said to you Sunday. Because what's going to happen if you do? Financially, let me just tell you one thing. Church, listen, you cannot spend the amount of money that our nation spent and there not be severe ramifications in some period of time future. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can stay in the sand, but let me tell you, you can't print money like we're doing and things go well for an extended period of time. You and I can only write so many checks before the man at the bank's going to call and say, hey, what's going on? Well, I don't know. I still had checks. I thought I had money. You've got to have the day that you finally have to pay what you've written the checks for, don't you? Right? So that's what's important for us to recognize in our life. You and I can't run around just like we see here with our dear friend, Jeroboam. You and I can't go out in our lives and start producing idols because we're fearful that somebody's going to go to Jerusalem and we're going to lose this thing that we have, these people that are our kingdom. We can't do that. You and I serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We don't allow the fear of even that and the financial ruin, essentially, of our country at one point or another. God, we live outside of that. What are we going to do? What does the Bible say? He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We continue to live like we're going to be alive for another 100 years, but prepare like everything's going to go to pot tomorrow. Amen? We need to be wise. Don't run out there and go buy yourself a house you can't pay for and 5 cars you can't pay for and fill it with a bunch of worthless appliances that'll be out of date in 12 months. Don't do it. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. That's what you do as a follower of Christ. Things are going to happen. People are going to come. Kingdoms are going to rise and fall. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we serve the God that will sustain us. He will keep us. He'll protect us. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. What? In accordance with his will. Where's fear? Fear doesn't drive us. There's one fear that we should have, and what is that? fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What happens if I wake up tomorrow? You wake up tomorrow? And the stock market, I don't know enough about the financial thing to even understand the magnitude of it really. But let's just wake up tomorrow and I look on the news and they say, all your money's worth nothing. Oh, okay. Well, I got something to light a fire with. What am I going to do? I don't know. I'm going to stay at home and keep doing what I'm doing, I guess, right? What are you going to do? Anybody? What are you going to do? I'm going to get up, I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray. Lord, lead us this day. Right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God's going to provide. His promise is to protect us, to keep us. And just because a financial system in a nation, let's say, would fail, doesn't change my eternity, doesn't change your eternity. You know what else it doesn't change? Our ability to rest in God's providential protection and God's promise, never leave us, never forsake us, and to supply all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. Though it may not be in the monetary system like we would be seeing it, that doesn't change anything because his promise is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.